Well, this is just wonderful. This is how I like to spend Christmas Eve with you, singing Christmas carols, a time around God's Word, a time to hear a cantata that has a message that's vital for our souls. Would you pray with me and we'll continue our worship of God and then go to His Word and just have some meditations tonight. Almighty God in heaven, it is an amazing thing that we mere creatures here upon this earth can lift up our voices, and you have promised, because of Jesus Christ, to hear our prayers. And we want to exalt you tonight and to acknowledge that we believe everything that your word states. And we believe that this Christmas story is true history and that it's crucial history. That tells us of the time where you chose to become a man down here and live among us to save us from the folly of our own decisions and to redeem us back to yourself, cause us to have new life, cause us to be brought to your eternal home and to have everlasting life. We rejoice in these truths that we sung. And we would pray that you help our hearts be attentive to your word at this very hour. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening and there was morning one day. After the basic elements of the entire universe were called into existence by God on that first day of creation, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 states that the first specific step that God took was to create light. He called light into being out of nothing. The words went forth from God's mouth, "Let there be light." And through the words of God, through the word of God, there came into being light. And the light was good. In the New Testament, the prophet and the apostle John, who knew Jesus as well as any other human being on the planet, who leaned on Jesus' breast that Last Supper, reclining there at the table, to whom Jesus, while dying on the Roman cross, entrusted the care of his own mother. This John, in his opening chapter of the gospel which was his seal and testament to the life, to the ministry, and to the meaning of Jesus of Nazareth, he wrote these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Christmas Eve is the night that we celebrate when God Almighty descended down to earth, and he was conceived and then born as a real human being in this planet. You don't have to understand that. You have to believe that. Tonight, I want your faith to feast on four meditations about our great Savior, Jesus Christ. The first meditation is that Jesus is the eternal God who created all things. In John's Gospel, and you could turn there if you want, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, particularly verses 1 through 2, John, remember, was guided by the Holy Spirit infallibly when he wrote these words, and he declared what that eternal relationship was between the Son and the Father. He was in the beginning, the Word was in the beginning with God, and he was God. The Word, the Logos in Greek, the rational logical expression of God. Simultaneously with God, that preposition means toward God, meaning in the closest proximity to God that one can imagine. And he is the eternal God himself, it goes on to say. A fabulous truth that brings us to the edge of our mental capabilities. It leaves us peering into the vast mystery of the eternal Godhead. God with God, who also is God. Adding in the truth of verse 2 of John's Gospel, he always was with God. Never was there a time when the Word was not with God. And then comes verse 3 to tell us the relationship of the Son of God now not just to the Father, but to all of the universe. Here we learn what we could not learn from Genesis 1 when it said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We learned that God did not act alone in creating the universe. It was a cooperative venture. God created, but God did not create anything except through his Word, his Son. There is an unmistakable parallel between John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And John 1 here says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was fully God, and God created everything in the world through the Word. All things came into being through Jesus Christ. Came into being, that verb is ginomai. It means the universe did not exist. It was nowhere. And then it was called into being. It came to be. The Word always was in the beginning. His existence was eternal, ongoing, no beginning, no cause. But through his eternal divine being, through the Son of God, all things in the universe found their existence. Just as we read in Genesis 1, there was no universe. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God existed without cause, and he caused the heavens and the earth. There was no light, no light at all. And God said, let there be light. And instantly, there was light. There was no sky. There was no sea, fish, grass, you name it. God spoke. And these things instantly appeared out of nothing. The material universe is not eternal. Science has already confirmed that. God is eternal. Jesus is God. And God created everything through Jesus. That means Jesus created everything. When you look at a manger scene and you see the little baby Jesus and your eyes focus there, remember, that is your creator. That is the creator of everything. First meditation. Second meditation, Jesus is life itself. At verse 4, if you're looking at it, it says, in him was life. This is the same person he's been writing about. This still refers to the Word of God, the Logos of verse 1. There's an intensive pronoun there, autos. It points to the same person. In the same one was life. Look closely at this. This is amazing. Notice that it does not say Jesus made life. He did, of course. Verse 3 already said that. This says more than that. This says that the very source, the very principle of life is in the eternal Word, Jesus Christ. Life was in him. Again, John was guided by the Holy Spirit to use these terms. He used the past tense here. That pictures his role at the very beginning. Life was continually in the eternal Word. And of course, nothing has changed. Life still is in God the Son. What is life? We all experience life. I hope you're all alive out there tonight. We tend to know what life is. It's pretty easy to tell when someone's alive. It's pretty easy to tell, too, that life is something very precious, right? In fact, it's most precious to us. You won't get a gift under the tree this year that's more important than life. And God gave that. We cherish life. We value it. But what is it? You go to the dictionaries and ask them to define life, and it's pretty lame. It says things like, what happens between birth and death? Or what distinguishes us from the inanimate objects? But what really is life? People can categorize life, plant life, animal life, human life, angelic life, eternal life, but no one seems to be able to define life. Maybe it's an enablement. Maybe it's an energy. Maybe it's a consciousness. Whatever it is, life is in Jesus, the Son of God. Did you know that? Do you know that that is not a religious statement? People come to church on Christmas Eve and they think, I'll get a little religion. You just got a little reality, not religion. That's a factual statement. It's a controlling statement. In him was life. It's a definitive statement. There is no life except what comes from him. Life is not something that has or ever can come from anything that is not living. Evolution ultimately is not a science at all. It is a faith. It is a faith that contradicts science. Because science has already proven all life always comes from previous life. Even cloning must start with pre-existing life. Spontaneous generation is a silly little myth. Evolution stands on that myth. Nothing alive today, or even thousands of years ago, ever came from something that was not alive. But where does life come from? Answer, from something living, eternally alive. But there was nothing living in the beginning. There was just God. So God is life. God animates and radiates life. It is God who breathed into the first man whom he created. Adam's body was formed, but Adam's body was not alive. Then God breathed into his nostrils and Adam became alive. Life does not just come from God. God himself is life. And Christ is God. And Christ has life inside himself. That doesn't mean he's alive. We're alive, but we don't have life inside ourselves. We were given life. We are created life. We are derived life. He is life. Christ exists by no one else. He depends on nothing else. God never needs anything. He's constant life. Remember what he said to Moses when he asked, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am who I am." We derive our existence from life, and he is life. Acts 17 says, "In God we live and move and exist." Jesus said, "I came down out of heaven into this world so that I might give you life and give it to you abundantly." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have," what? "Everlasting life." You cannot give yourself everlasting life. I cannot give you everlasting life. No man or church can give you everlasting life. Christ is everlasting life. Amen. It says in 1 John 5, "He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life." Jesus said, "Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whomever he pleases." He's sovereign over life. He told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." Third meditation. Jesus, the life, is the light of men. Jesus, the life, is the light of men. The last part of verse 4 says, "And the life was the light of men." The two cannot be separated. The life was the light. That boggled my mind. I had to think about that a lot. The life was the light. That means the life comes down and enters into the world in the person of Christ, and the life as it enters shines. The life shines because the life is the light. And the light shines on men, and so it's the light of men. When the life of Jesus is manifest to men on earth, and they see him and hear of him and read of him, he is the life. The prophecy said, and quoted in Matthew 4, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. What did they see? They saw Jesus of Nazareth walking around, teaching, and doing miracles. It says, and those who were sitting in the land in shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. The light of God shining from the Son of God is the very eternal life of God come down from heaven. Are you drawn to a beautiful display of light, maybe a Christmas display? And you just turn aside and you have to see it. It's so gorgeous. It shines. It radiates. It's glorious. And your eyes are drawn to it. And your whole being can be drawn into that. It's beautiful. If you don't know Christ, He is the light that is beautiful. You need to be drawn to Him tonight. Do you know that even physical light radiated out of Christ's body when He was on the Mount of Transfiguration? It said, His face shone like the sun, and His garments became as white as light. In John 8, in the middle of a great feast, we're going to talk about this tomorrow morning, He yelled out, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have, do you remember, the light of life. In other words, the life that came into the world that is the light, He imparts that life to you. And now the life can be inside of you and you can have the light. His life given to you and His light splashing upon you. If you come to Christ and give your life to Christ, He will give you His life. Fourth meditation. Jesus, the light, conquers the darkness. That's verse 5. It says, the light shines. Please understand, not just that it shone, but that it shines. Where does it shine? In the darkness. In the darkness. And the darkness did not overcome it. The light. It has the article in Greek. John's not talking about any light. It's pointing back to the light that came from the life, which was the Logos, the eternal word. That light shine. That verb is in the present tense. It shines and shines and shines. John has more in mind than the shining of the light at creation. Christ was there at creation creating, and He shined there. It says He shines now. The light of Christ embraces all the light, even the light that we know of Christ today. We read the Holy Scriptures and we understand and come to know Christ, and that's the light that shines upon us. Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, said, Christ has always been the life and the light, even before His birth, from the beginning, and will ever remain so to the end. He shines at all times, in all creatures, in the Holy Scriptures, through His saints, prophets, and ministers, in His word and works, and He has never ceased to shine. The shining of Jesus Christ is unstoppable. The darkness can never overcome the light of Christ. That term katalambano is sometimes translated comprehend. I think in this context, it's better translated overcome. The darkness did not overcome it. If you know anything about this world, you know it's a dark world. There is sin and deception and hatred and disobedience just stacked on top of each other. It's just the deepest darkness. It was that way in the Roman world. It was that way among the Greeks and the Egyptians and the Assyrians. They were in darkness too. That darkness never overcame the light. The kingdom of darkness has no power over light. Even on a physical level, we understand that. How can darkness ever fight even the smallest light? It can't. There is no power in darkness. Not where there's light. There is no dark side to the force. Darkness has no force. Light is force. We don't live in a dualistic universe. There's only one God, and the Bible says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Genesis 1:2 said the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and the darkness had no say, had no power. Dr. MacArthur says even a small candle can drive the darkness from a room. The brilliant, glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ will utterly destroy Satan's realm of darkness. Give a trembling child a bright flashlight as he sits in the darkness, and he's conquered every bit of the darkness in his room. Jesus invaded the dark planet. That little child in Bethlehem was an invasion behind enemy lines, right into darkness. He intended not to compromise. He intended to come here and to win and to overcome the darkness, to destroy the works of the devil, as it said in 1 John 3. Christ's light is never frustrated by darkness. Beloved, this Christmas, have this faith and this conviction in your own heart about the life that is in you, that is the light of Christ. You have the very life of Christ inside of you, you who are born again, you who have been redeemed, you who have believed, the very life of Jesus Christ is in you. The world can't understand all of that, but it is true and it is in you. And Christ said, let your light shine before men. Remember that? In such a way that they may see your good works and not glorify you, but glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen? The life is the light, and that light now shines in you.